Hi friends, how are you? Welcome to my living room. I'm doing a couple podcasts back to back, so I'm still here drinking my coffee while my family is out playing and it's a Sunday. I wanted to talk a little bit. Somebody gave me the idea of a few pointers or five ways to a happy marriage or what I've learned in marriage and all that. And you may be getting to know me enough that I am not the detailed person that this is number one. And I have done 3 days worth of research on number one. And then number two, I'm not going to do that. So this might be, I will probably keep this 20 minutes. And then if it seems like it's getting lengthy, like I've only touched on maybe three things that I've learned. Okay, I had to stop. My daughter came in and asked me a question. So if it gets lengthy, I'll just do something like a marriage continued part two or something like that. So I'm just going to speak from my heart. I ask the Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit, guide me with my words. Let me know what others need to hear, and that includes myself. Because we all know when we're doing a little pep talk to a friend that's going through a hard time, we actually really need to hear it too. So this isn't something I have become an expert on. I'm still learning. We are always learning. It's like figuring out, I don't know, name it. We're never experts. Well, let's say gardening. Oh, I'm always learning. I do not have a green thumb. I'd rather just tend to my animals than go in the garden, but I'm always learning, just with animals too. Okay, so first things first. So who knows how many? Okay, I need to stay on track. I have some notes, but sometimes the notes distract me. I should just that's why sometimes I don't take notes. Okay. I was going to tell you a backstory. My husband and I have been married for 15 years next week, April 30th, 15 years. We have four children aged 13 to 7, girl, boy, boy, girl. We got married. Okay, so we dated, got engaged, and got married all within a year. So we met, I was away for half that time in Alaska. I worked for the summer. There, it was a super spontaneous, fun thing to do. We emailed back and forth because cell phones, there was a lot of data prices, cost. So we emailed, and boy, is it good to long distance. If you're going to have a relationship with someone that you're going to marry, it's good to have it long distance rather than being face to face. Way too many temptations. I think you can all attest to that. So being away was really good for us. We got to talk about deeper things rather than, hi, what do you want to do? So we just knew we were praying for each other long before we met, both of us, got married, and here we are, had baby within a few months of getting married. We were pregnant and had our firstborn shortly after our first year anniversary. So we have been parents ever since the beginning. And so 15 years, fast forward 15 years. We are definitely not experts. We have definitely not figured anything out. And I don't think we ever will, because you know what? When I was 23 and having my first, I'm not the same person as I was when I was 23, right? And I'm sure you can look back even 5 years. And I hope we can all look back at 5 years ago. And I hope we're not the same person, because that means we're not learning. That means we're not learning from our mistakes. We're not gaining wisdom. I pray often, Lord, give me wisdom. It even says in the Bible to ask for wisdom and it will be given to you, because wisdom gives us really good, it allows us to make good decisions that affects us long term in our life. It affects our children, it affects our spouse, it affects us and the people around us. Wisdom is really beautiful. That is what you should be praying for, is wisdom as a woman of God. So, and Aaron and I, my husband, we don't really sit down and hold on. Okay, so my kids are coming in because they were playing in the mud and getting rinsed off. I know you maybe, I don't know what it's like on the podcast to be interrupted, or if you even hear me being cut off or not. It's just like a pause button. So even if you don't and you're like, what is she talking about? I had to pause because I had to have a conversation with my daughter about not stepping on the carpet with muddy feet. Okay, first thing, I remember how easy, well, I still do, but I'm going to go back to first time marriage, first time, like early years. Okay. That's how I should say it. Not first time, early years. How much I wanted to prove my point. I'm laughing because it's something we are always working on. But I felt the need to argue my point. Who knows what it was all about? Because I don't do that now. So I'm trying to think. I mean, in some cases I do. But I did it. I remember doing it a lot more. It was almost like I needed to be heard. Like he won't know what I need or want. Or this is wrong. And this is the way it needs to be. Because obviously he's giving his opinion on something, right? Well, I should give my opinion. And I, of course, when we're both giving our opinions and it's kind of turning into an argument, well, who's going to give in? Who's going to say, oh, you're right? it seems like it's a dead end. So what I do during those moments now, when I feel a little bit angry or I feel a little bit annoyed and I want to be heard, I will be quiet. It's almost like training your kids, you know, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. I've had to do that to myself. I've told my kids often, just put your hand over your mouth if you feel like you're going to say something you're going to regret, because you can't take back those words. And isn't that good for us adults too? You cannot take back your words that you've said. Yes, you can apologize. Yes, you can ask for forgiveness and move on and learn from your mistakes. But you can't take back those words, especially if we did it out of anger. They're usually hurtful words, aren't they? And we never want to get to the point where we're hurting our spouse with our words. Those are really damaging. It's damaging for both of you. It's not that they're damaging to them, only it's you too. It's almost like you're separating yourself from them. So you don't have a connection. Because who wants to love on someone when you've had an argument? Nope, it's like the prickly spines are out. Well, who wants to hug that? So what I do now, if I'm feeling really overwhelmed with my emotions, and sometimes I'll even trace it back to, hey, it's my cycle, and I am usually a few days before a little bit crazy in the head, in the mind. Like I'm restless. I'm tired. I'm annoyed. And I will recognize it and go, oh, this is my cycle talking. Okay. You need to walk away, Joy. Or, oh, you need to go for a walk, because a walk can cure a lot, ladies. Also, a quick suggestion is to track your cycle. I know you're like, oh, how annoying, another thing to do, but you really need to be doing it. It's for the benefit of your family. So when I get my cycle, I write it down, even on my phone calendar. I just write it. And then I'll count the days, because usually, I mean, if you're in between babies and pregnancy and babies and taking a rest, that is really hard to track. So I get it. But if you seem to be consistent and you're not in that stage of life, I like to track it so I know, and I count the days and I write down in my planner when I'm going to get it. So that week before, have more grace with yourself, but with others, and learn to take a walk. Learn to put your hand over your mouth, because there is stuff that goes on with our bodies that is not on a regular scale of things usually throughout the month. Do you need something? Okay. I'm going to talk a little bit on here, okay? Do you need something?
No.
Okay. So I recommend you doing that. It is really helpful. And you know, I thought, I am in my late 30s. Yeah, I guess that would be considered. I'm not 35 anymore. Ladies, we need to be doing this. We need to be responsible instead of, I didn't know it was coming. Yeah, we need to be more responsible. So, okay, that was a side note. So on my little notes, I said, be quiet, still, be still. Don't argue. Those times where you want to, just listen to them. Listen to what they're saying without your argumentative part of you rising up to prove them wrong. No, you don't need to prove them wrong, because you know what happens? A lot of the times they're right and we're wrong. So remember, our husbands have wisdom too. It's not just us. Pray versus fight. I wrote down for my next note, pray. Then that goes along with go for a walk and pray. So sometimes, maybe I am feeling argumentative, and my husband and I don't argue a lot. And I think it's because I tend to shut my mouth and I go for a walk when I'm feeling really heated, or I say, I need a moment, and I kind of walk away and I go for a walk or go to the chicken coop, and I just sit there and I talk to the Lord, I pray, I cry, I maybe get a little angry, as in just, ugh, like that. Because there's nothing, I've told my kids, there's nothing wrong with being angry, but don't sin in your anger. It's okay to be angry, but don't sin in your anger. So it's okay to let those feelings out, whether you're, even if you live in the city. I mean, go for a walk, or take a shower, take a bath, because you know what happens, ladies, is an hour after we've usually, something in our brains have calmed down. We have, we don't really have that fight or flight in us. It's cooled down a little bit. And then we go, oh, wow, if you have held your tongue and not chosen to argue, aren't you glad you didn't? Aren't you glad you didn't try to prove your point? Because sometimes you go, oh, that's just, it's pointless. Why am I trying to prove my point? It's absolutely pointless. What am I doing? And it's not like they, because sometimes maybe you are right in your assessment of things, but you're still feeling really heated. It's not good to have a conversation. Well, it's not even a conversation. It's an argument, right? If you're trying to prove your point and you're both kind of being defensive, I would wait until you've cooled down and if it's something you need to solve or figure out, come back at another time, even before bed or the next day or a few hours later. And hi. Do you need something?
Can you watch this?
Yeah. Okay. my family was coming inside, so now I'm outside visiting with you. So if you feel like it is something that you need to talk about, well, definitely do that, but don't do it in a way that you are overwhelmed, because I don't think any of us can think clearly when we are overwhelmed. Let's see. So those are a few ideas. Never, this is one on my notes, I never talk negatively about your spouse. No nagging, complaining. So when you're with your friends, when you're, well, friends or relatives, you don't need to share your personal business with them at all. You can share things that you're learning. You can share things that, just like I'm talking about right now, this is what I do when I seem to be frustrated. It's really not even about him. It's me. I had a difficult week, or I'm trying to character train one of my children and I'm on my last patient nerve and the Lord is giving me strength. And so I was kind of at the end of my rope and I was irrational, but I realized I need to talk to the Lord a little bit more. That's what you can talk about. I think giving examples of, do you know what he did today? That's exactly what we do not need to be doing. Staying completely silent isn't good either, because how are we supposed to encourage each other? How are we supposed to learn from each other? Can you tell the difference there? So right when you feel that you need to vent to somebody, don't vent. You can vent to the Lord, but the best venting tool is your journal. And start writing it down. And sometimes what happens, ladies, is we start writing things down and we realize it's us. And our selfish heart that always wants to be right. And then we go back to, oh, yeah, I was actually wrong in that. And let's say even if it wasn't us, well, then we're always supposed to be praying for our spouse. We're always supposed to be praying for them. It's good for us. It's really good for them. Praying behind the scenes as a woman, mother of God. You know what I mean? A woman of God and a mother through motherhood. We're supposed to be praying for our family. And that includes our spouse. Protection over your marriage. So that was one key point that even my husband has mentioned, that, you know, some men will talk to him and complain or share really personal things. He said, but don't worry, I didn't share anything with them. So sometimes it can be like, oh, I'm sharing this, you better share back. Men or women, we don't have to include ourselves in that. We can just say, I don't feel comfortable sharing, or you can just turn it around and maybe they are talking negatively, but you can say, well, remember, they're human just like us. I know I make plenty of mistakes, but I would never want him to talk negatively about me in front of his friends. So I try my best not to do. And you can change the subject or be bold and just say, I don't care for talking about my husband that way. Be bold so someone can learn from you. So I think that's all I wanted to touch on this time. I feel a little distracted because I forgot I have soup on the stove and I need to stir it. So I hope you learned along with me. I know there are a lot of other points that we can learn in our marriage, but first and foremost, we need to be praying for our spouses. We need to be praying for our marriage for protection. The enemy wants nothing more, ladies, than to destroy our marriage. Because I feel like what he wants is a destroyed marriage, and then he walks away and go, oh, good, another one down, and he goes to the next one. So even if you're from a divorced family or no divorce friends, and pray protection over your family, over your marriage, over all of those. Sometimes I feel like a divorce is, well, it can be a generational curse. I haven't technically looked all that up, but I have heard it from somebody, and I have seen it happen in my own family. Not my family is here at home with my husband and kids, but I should say relatives. I have seen it happen. So I remember seeing that happen, somebody pointing it out, and I said, oh, and that was very bold of them to say without me even being hurt. I prayed right away, both Aaron and I prayed, but I prayed right away that nope, it stops here. It will not continue in our family or our children and our children's children, however long we have here on earth. It will not continue, and it stops there. The enemy has absolutely no ground in our marriage to destroy it. So be bold and pray those things over your marriage. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for every one of these women. I pray that whatever they are learning through this, if they're feeling guilty, if they're feeling convicted, Lord, that is the first indication we need to make a change. Help us not stay in that icky, guilty feeling. Instead, let us repent to you. Repent means completely turning away from our sin and going a completely different direction. Renew us as wives. Give us the strength every single moment that comes up in our marriage that we want to fight, that we want to say things that are not encouraging or godly. Teach us, give us wisdom. Our kids are watching. Help them learn from us a godly marriage and also a grace-filled marriage, that we are not perfect, that we make mistakes daily. But what is our foundation in our marriage? It's to honor you, to respect each other. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Bless these women that are listening. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies. We'll talk soon. To be continued, okay?